The chill of early November means the Chiefs are on the national stage once again with the Monday Night Football showdown with the Pittsburgh Steelers at Heinz Field. It's only fitting that I'm in the draft room with Derek Thomas and Neil Smith behind me. They were part of a knockdown, dragout game on Monday Night Football when the Chiefs played the Pittsburgh Steelers. In fact, the Chiefs have played the Steelers more than any other non-division team on Monday Night Football. It has been an active week at One Arrowhead Drive. Big announcements made on Monday. Romeo Crennel adjusting the coaching staff, taking himself out of defensive coordinator duties and putting in linebackers coach Gary Gibbs into that role. Gibbs is a former defensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints and a former head coach at the University of Oklahoma. Also, personnel moves. Stanford Rout was waived, and Sean Smith was signed to the 53-man roster. Also, we'll talk with a Chiefs player that's seen a lot of the ups and downs of the journey, the good times and the tough times. Plus, he was a hero the last time the Chiefs beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, as we go under the helmet with linebacker Andy Studebaker. And last but not least, we sit down with my broadcast partner, Pro Football Hall of Famer Len Dawson, as he talks about the path to the Super Bowl and how it started in Western Pennsylvania and ended up right here in the epicenter of the Chiefs' kingdom, Kansas City. It's all coming up right now on Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. Mitch Holter's back here on Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. A little bit of irony this week as we go under the helmet with the Chiefs hero from 2009. He jumped onto the stage out of Wheaton College as Kansas City had one of the biggest upsets that year in the NFL, beating the Pittsburgh Steelers here at Arrowhead Stadium. He intercepted a pass and nearly ran it all the way back, 94 yards. I kid him a lot about not running that interception all the way back for a pick six. But one thing I can't kid him about is what he means to this football team.
Hi, my name is Andy Studebaker, and this is Under the Helmet. I think first and foremost, you don't let your circumstances dictate your attitude, and I think that's what our focus is right now. Obviously, our record is not where we want it to be, but we have not changed our approach. We're coming out every single day, working as hard as we can as a team and trying to right the ship. And I think if we do that every day and focus on what's going to help us win games daily instead of focus on the circumstances, we'll give ourselves the best chance to win. So that's where we're at right now. Yeah, I think it's really important for veteran players to step up at a time like this. You know, it's easy to be a team full of camaraderie when you're winning and things are going great. When it's not going so well, you have to bring younger guys especially into the fold and circle the wagons and say, hey, for the last half of the season here, we have some goals that we want to reach. We want to obviously start winning games. We want to turn this thing around. And when the older players circle the wagons with the younger players and show them the ropes, we're going to be a lot better, because it's going to take all of us and it's going to take everybody every week. Monday Night Football, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, everybody's watching. The entire country's watching. People are having parties across the nation. To get the opportunity to play on Monday night against a great opponent, that's something you want. That's something you wish for and you think about. When that schedule came out in the spring, that's the game that you circle on your schedule. And that's one that you train for when you're running sprints in July. You're thinking about that game. So we want to show up big. We want to show up and play really well and play hard and make the city proud. Obviously, Pittsburgh has been a perennial power in the NFL for a while here, and they've fielded some really great teams. We know what we're getting into. They're a physical team. They're tough. They have a lot of good athletes, and they have a great quarterback. And when you play them at their place, it presents some challenges. You know, we've played them, you know, a couple times here in the last few years and split with them, and we've played them tough each time. We can play tough, too, and I think if we go there with the mindset that our opponent isn't bigger than us, you know, this isn't a mountain that we have to climb. We just need to go play the best that the Chiefs can play, and that's going to help us win.
We have the greatest fans in the NFL. When things are going bad, you know they're still going to be on your side. You know, they're always there 100%. We have the stadium filled every week, a sea of red. So it's a great thing that fans is that supportive of you, and you know that your stadium is going to be rocking week in and week out.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Sprint, the official wireless service sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs, Truman Medical Centers, and the Chiefs, partners for a healthy community, and by Hy-Vee.
Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle.
Much more coming at you right here on Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider as we'll talk to head coach Romeo Crennel about the Steelers and what the team will face in Pittsburgh. And we go into the life and times of one of the greatest to ever wear a Chiefs helmet when we return.
Since the 1970s, the percentage of overweight children has tripled in the United States. That's why the Chiefs and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City have teamed up to create the Chiefs Sports Lab powered by Blue KC. Located inside Arrowhead Stadium, the Sports Lab is an interactive environment where children of all ages can learn how to make healthy choices through diet, exercise, and injury prevention. Take a stand against childhood obesity by visiting the Chiefs Sports Lab powered by Blue KC today. Go to goarrowhead.com and click on tours.
Welcome back to Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. This week, our Chiefs reporter, Rachel Sanchi, as she does each and every week, keeps you up to date with what's going on inside One Arrowhead Drive. This week on her Focus Point, she takes a look at trying to build team unity, coming together, and trying to win as a team.
For the second time in as many weeks, the Chiefs are in the spotlight of a national audience. Primetime, 11 days ago, viewers witnessed the Chiefs falter. After putting together a decent first half performance, ultimately concluded in a fourth quarter meltdown and another mark in the loss column. This week, they face the black and yellow in a black and blue AFC North division, where three of the four teams are battling for a spot at the postseason. In other words, it doesn't get easier from here. Gaining ground, or at the very least confidence for the Chiefs, will rely heavily on the play calling from the offense and Brian Daboll. More often than not, Kansas City's defense has played well enough to keep the team in ball games, and at times has shifted the momentum to the Chiefs' side, only to be lost by a flat offensive series, or even worse, a turnover. The defense has made its fair share of mistakes this season, but has found a way to stop opposing offenses. Just not for 60 minutes. That give and take, that reliance on each other, is what separates good teams from great. It's what separates winning from losing. All year, the team has preached, together is powerful. And it most certainly is. Take, for example, the Baltimore game. The battle between the Ravens and the Chiefs came down to field goals. Any offensive push from the Chiefs, and that game would have, could have, and should have been a difference maker. That game is no different from last week's loss to the Chargers, or any other week for that matter. At halftime, the Chargers sprinted off the field, deflated from an Eric Berry pick in the end zone that held the game within one score, and saw the Chargers head to the locker room accompanied by a chorus of boos. In the third quarter, the game was relatively tight, but certainly not mistake-free. However, the floodgates opened in the fourth, and the Chiefs' offense delivered 14 points. Only this time into the hands of their divisional rivals. The offense and the defense have just not played well together. Woulda, coulda, shouldas aside, the Chiefs were outmatched. The defense couldn't hold on to save the offense, and the offense couldn't produce enough to beat an even reeling San Diego team. It's now time to get the two sides on one page. It's time to have the offense move the ball effectively while protecting it with their life. It's time for the defense to catch their breath so that when asked, they can stem the tide that has been yanking the Chiefs and their fans into an undertow they just can't seem to escape. It's time to come together. It's time for the Chiefs to play good old-fashioned, hard-nosed football. They must play their game on both sides of the ball, and they must do so regardless of scores and records. They have to do it for themselves. They have to do it for the city. And they most certainly have to do it for the fans who have loved them for 50 years.
It has been a busy week in this office with head coach Romeo Crennel. And Romeo, some big decisions this week. You made a decision to adjust the staff. How has that affected your allotment of time this week, and how has it affected the week?
Well, you know, anytime you make a change, people have to adapt. I have to adapt. I've been spending more time with the offense and with special teams and less time with the defense. Coach Gibbs and the defensive staff, they've been meeting and game planning for our game against the Steelers on Monday night. And so I think that things will go smoothly. Hopefully my presence on the offense will help those guys some, and we'll see how it plays out.
You know the Pittsburgh Steelers well. You played them off their feet last year defensively, a game that the Chiefs could have easily won. But I think of Big Ben and Roethlisberger, and I think of big plays. This is a team that's had big plays from a variety of guys.
What do you do to handle Big Ben, and how do you limit the big plays?
It takes the whole defense rallying to the football, first of all, because a lot of their big plays comes from their skill position players, which have a lot of speed. Their wide receivers are tremendously fast. Their running backs are hard running guys. You know, they don't go down easy. They break tackles. And then they have a big physical offensive line that will protect Ben. And Ben is pretty sharp himself. He knows how to move in the pocket. He can pump guys off the feet and then still deliver the ball down the field. And so they do a good job of uncovering down the field. So we're going to have to, we tell our guys to plaster your man and stay with your man all the way through. And then if we get guys rallying to the football, we'll keep the plays from becoming big plays.
If you're not at Arrowhead on Sunday, you're missing out. Sundays in Kansas City, it's great. It just makes you want to walk out there to Arrowhead and play your heart out.
The sweet nectar of the end zone.
We want to be part of the fans all the time on Sundays because the fans get you going. The Chiefs were in Kansas City for 21 years before I was born. I've ran into fans that say, I've been a fan since longer than you've been alive. To hear that just makes me more proud to say I'm a Kansas City Chief.
One of the greatest blessings of my life is for the last 20 years, basically, I have stood shoulder to shoulder with one of the greatest to ever play in the National Football League. I was thrilled this year when the Pro Football Hall of Fame gave the Pete Rozelle Award to Len Dawson. He is only one of three players in NFL history to be inducted into the Hall as a player and as a broadcaster. A big reason is his passion for the Kansas City Chiefs. He feels it just like all of you do, and as I do, and this has been a tough season. But Lenny will call it like it is, but know this, he loves this franchise. Now, many of you don't know the Len Dawson story, but let's go back to where it all began.
Thank you very much. You know, I first met Lenny Dawson 35 years ago, when I was a baseball coach and assistant football coach at Purdue University. Lenny was a senior at Alliance High School, just 20 miles from this Hall of Fame. He was an All-State quarterback, an All-State basketball player, baseball player, and an excellent student. Lenny was shy and he was quiet, but had an air of confidence and poise that was very, very contagious.
My first game starting a football game in high school was at that stadium where they have the Hall of Fame game. I was the first player born and raised in Stark County to go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. My family sitting out in the audience, some place that I was very familiar with, and how proud they were of me is very, very special. I grew up in Alliance, Ohio. I was one of 11 children. I was the ninth child. There were seven boys and four girls. I was the seventh son, and I happened to be the seventh son of a seventh son. Now, Alliance, Ohio was, at that time, was around 25,000 to 30,000 people. Sports were very big in those days. I had older brothers, and really, that's how it got me started in sports, because the little guy around, you know, is always tagging along after the big brothers and, you know, wanting to do what they do.
An exceptional high school athlete, Dawson found that he had options after graduating. The great Woody Hayes recruited him, but lost out to a lesser-known coach whose Louisiana roots got to the young man from Alliance, Ohio first.
I was recruited by a school by the name of Purdue University. There was a guy there by the name of Henry Hank Strand. He was a former player there. He was an assistant coach.
The chemistry Dawson had established with the Boilermaker assistant coach, Hank Stram, spawned a friendship. That friendship would last for more than a half century, but would not be rekindled until 5 years later, as Dawson found himself languishing on NFL benches. Len Dawson was chosen fifth overall in the 1957 NFL draft by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Playing behind such great signal callers as Earl Morrill and Jack Kemp, Dawson became frustrated and eventually was traded to the Cleveland Browns, where he found the situation to be the same. His inability to get playing time was disheartening until an old friend re-entered the scene.
And after 5 years, I hadn't done anything in professional football. I hadn't had the opportunity, really. And it was interesting because they had a coaches' convention in Pittsburgh, where I was living at the time. And Hank Stram came to town. He was then the new head football coach for the Dallas Texans of this American Football League. I had breakfast with him, and he was asking about how things were going for me, and I wasn't very happy because I hadn't had a chance to play. He said, if you ever get a chance to get free, give me a call. I'd love to have you. Well, I got to thinking, listen, I'm not going anywhere now with the National Football League and the Cleveland Browns, so I asked Paul Brown for my release. And lo and behold, he put me on waivers. Now, he put me on waivers in June. Now, back in those days, in June, the coaches took the month off. So most of them didn't even know that I was placed on waivers, because some of them told me that. Later on, I said, Jesus, we'd known you were on there. We would have picked you up, tried you out. So I became free. And so that's when I went with the Dallas Texans and Hank Stram. And that's when I really got my chance to play.
Cheer the Zing team of pro football, the dazzling Dallas Texans. Join the yell for the AFL and the roaring, scoring Texans.
Although not completely sold on Dawson's talents, Chiefs owner Lamar Hunt allowed coach Hank Stram to work with Len and cultivate his skills to fit the Texan style. Stram's intuitions were correct, and the gunslinging quarterback would lead the fledgling squad to an 11-3 record, the top-ranked offense, and forcing many, including Lamar Hunt, to change their views on Dawson's ability.
Lamar Hunt did something that he never did before or after. He traded Cotton Davidson, the starting quarterback from the year before, to the Oakland Raiders. And the reason he did that is that Oakland was a team that had a lot of problems and they needed some help. And so he was just trying to help the league become successful. And so then I was a starter the rest of the year. Ended up winning the championship. So the first year was an outstanding one for me, and I was even voted the most valuable player of the league in that particular year. So my first year with Hank Stram and my first year with this new American Football League was great.
After his MVP season in Dallas, the Texans relocated to Kansas City, and Dawson would help lead the newly founded Chiefs to not only their first Super Bowl, but the best record in AFL history. After battling injuries the entire 1969 season, Dawson and his fellow Chiefs teammates fought their way back to the Super Bowl.
How did we get to that Super Bowl IV game? Well, I'll tell you what, as a wild card. Because the Raiders won the division, so we were a wild card. We had to go to New York to take on the New York Jets. They had won the Super Bowl the year before, Super Bowl III, with Joe Namath and an outstanding football team in New York. And we beat them there. Now we had to go to Oakland, California, a team that had beaten us twice during the regular season, to play them. And we beat them on their turf. Or the right to go to the Super Bowl IV in New Orleans against the Minnesota Vikings.
Come on, Lenny. Pump it in there, baby. Just keep matriculating the ball down the field, boys.
Dawson, close sideline pattern. Taylor. Taylor, hold. 30, 25. He cuts back. 20. He's going to go.
This team is the greatest in the universe!
Much like his football career, Len's avocation of being a broadcaster started auspiciously, from the days when he hustled from practice to make the 6 p.m. sportscast, to his days now as a seasoned professional and color commentator for his beloved team. Len has proven he still bleeds Chiefs red.
I just finished that, I believe, my 27th year of broadcasting Kansas City Chiefs games on their radio network. It keeps me very close to what is happening in a sport that I really love. I've seen a lot of great football, a lot of great football players over the years. I don't know, I don't consider it work. I don't think I should say that too loud because they might ask me to do it for nothing. But it's been a real privilege, a real privilege for me to be associated with the Kansas City Chiefs, and they had treated me like one of their own.
The people of Kansas City are tremendous. They have been tremendous to me and my family and to the Kansas City Chiefs. I am very proud to be here. Thank you very much.
I mean, 50 years is a long time, and it goes to show you what the Kansas City Chiefs mean to this city. This ball club has been the heart and soul of this city. When the Chiefs drafted me, this city just took me, embraced me, and, you know, as one of their own. They made me feel like a part of the family. My time here, I will never forget. You know, this is my home.
Thanks for joining us this week. If you missed any part of the show, you can watch it all on kcchiefs.com. You won't want to miss next week. It's one of the highlights of the season, as the Chiefs will have Military Appreciation Week when they host the Cincinnati Bengals for a noon kickoff November the 18th here at Arrowhead. There'll be flyovers, salute to service, game festivities, and a few surprises. We'll get you ready right here on Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider.
Chiefs Insider has been brought to you by Sprint, the official wireless service sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs, Truman Medical Centers, and the Chiefs, partners for a healthy community, and by Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle.